Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to rebuild a classic old-school drum and bass effects chain in Ableton Live 12, but we're going to do it the smart way, so you keep the vibe without wrecking your headroom. This is one of those skills that separates a track that just has effects from a track that feels like it's actually moving. We're talking big reverb throws, dubby delay, reverse swells, a little saturation grit, and that jungle era drama. But in drum and bass, especially when the tempo is moving fast and the sub is doing a lot of work, you cannot just pile on wet effects and hope for the best. That's how you end up with a cloudy, harsh mix that loses impact the second the drop arrives. So the goal here is not to make the effects smaller. The goal is to make them smarter. We're going to build a reusable setup using return tracks, filtered ambience, controlled delay, a bit of resampling, and some phrase-based automation. By the end, you should have an effects chain that works on snare throws, break edits, vocal chops, bass stabs, noise hits, and pre-drop tension without stealing space from the kick, snare, and sub. Let's start with the basic routing, because this is where a lot of people go wrong. Instead of loading huge effects directly onto your main drum or bass tracks, create dedicated return tracks. Make one return call dark verb and another call dub throw. Keep your source sounds separate from your effect heavy layers. That way, your dry drums and bass stay punchy, and you can decide exactly how much signal gets sent into the space. On dark verb, we're going to build a controlled reverb environment. Add reverb, then EQ8, then utility. Set the reverb to 100% wet, because this is a return track. Start with a decay somewhere around 1.6 to 2.8 seconds if you want it to work for fills, or stretch it longer, maybe 3.2 to 5.5 seconds. If you're building a bigger transition, keep the pre-delay around 12 to 28 milliseconds so the transient still has a bit of definition before the wash opens up. Now the important part, filter the return. Put EQ8 after the reverb and high-pass it somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz. If the tail feels boxy, cut a little around 250 to 400 Hz too. If the top end is too shiny, gently roll off some air above 8 kHz. This is a huge move in drum and bass, because the low mids are where reverb can turn into mush really fast. You want the space, but you do not want it stepping on the kick and sub. A good starting point is a snare throw into this return with a 2.4 second decay, around 18 milliseconds of pre-delay, and a high pass at about 240 Hz. That gives you that old school atmosphere without fudding the low end. On dub throw, we're going to build the delay side of the chain. Add echo, then saturator, then EQ8, then utility. Again, make the echo fully wet on the return. Try a delay time of 1/8, 1/4, or dotted 1/8, depending on the groove you want. Keep feedback around 25 to 45% so it repeats with intention, not forever. Filter the delay hard, high pass somewhere around 250 to 500 Hz, low pass around 4 to 8 kHz. That gives you the darker, more worn character that suits old school jungle and rollers. After echo, add a little saturator. You do not need much here. Around 1.5 to 4 dB of drive is usually enough to make the repeats feel a bit more rubbed, a bit more underground. Turn soft clip on, and then trim the output so the return does not spike in level. Then finish with EQ8 to clean up the low end again, high passing somewhere around 220 to 350 Hz. Now you've got two return tracks that can give you huge atmosphere without blowing up the mix. Next, let's talk about building the effect chain on a source track. When you want a more specific sound, maybe it's a reverse snare, a white noise hit, a chopped break slice, or a resampled stab. In that case, you can build the chain directly on the audio track, but you still need to think about gain staging. A solid chain is utility, auto filter, saturator, echo or delay, reverb, EQ8, and then another utility at the end if needed. The first utility it is there to trim the source before it hits the effects. This matters a lot. If the sample is already too hot, every device after it will feel flatter and harsher. Lower the input by 6 to 12 dB if needed. That makes the whole chain behave more predictably. Then use auto filter before the time-based effects to shape what's actually feeding into the delay and reverb. A band pass or low pass sweep can be a really nice old-school move. Add a bit of resonance, maybe around 0.8 to 1.5, depending on how pronounced you want the movement. Then push the signal through saturator if you want the echoes and tails to inherit some grime. Put reverb lower in the chain if it's an insert, and keep the wet amount modest, around 8 to 20%. Then use the final EQ8 to clean up anything unnecessary, especially below 180 to 400 Hz on non-bass effect sources. Now let's get into one of the most useful old-school techniques, resampling. A lot of the best drum and bass effects are not just created in real time. They're printed to audio, edited, and turned into something else. That's part of what gives jungle and old-school-inspired music its worn, chopped, slightly unpredictable feel. So route your FX source to a new audio track and record the result. Print some snare throws with delay, a filtered break snippet, a bass stab with a reverb tail, or a vocal one-shot with echo feedback. Then chop the front transient tight, and if you want that classic pre-hit swell, reverse the tail. Use fade so you do not get clicks, and don't over-tighten the life out of it with warp settings unless you really need to. Once you've got the audio printed, you can process it again with something like Drum Bus for punch and grime, or Redux for a little digital roughness. Even subtle Drum Bus drive, around 5-15%, can make a resampled FX hit feel more finished. Keep boom subtle unless you specifically want the hit to feel huge, and use crunch lightly if you want edge. This is especially effective for reversed snare verbs before a drop, or for fills between bass phrases. Now, here's a big one. Keep headroom by managing sends and input levels, not just by turning the whole track down afterward. If your FX chain feels too loud, do not immediately start shrinking the master. First check the source level, then check your send amount, then check the return gain. In drum and bass, you need the dry drum and bass balance to stay stable while the FX move around it. If the FX are eating all the space, the whole track loses punch. A really good habit is to solo the return occasionally, then bring the dry sound back in and ask yourself a simple question. Is this effect actually helping the groove, or is it just making noise? That one question can save you from overdoing it. Also, remember that shorter can often feel bigger in fast music. At 174 BPM, a tail that sounds perfect in solo may actually be too long once the break and bass are moving. If the groove starts blurring, shorten the decay before you lower the volume. That's usually the cleaner fix. Now let's make the FX act like arrangement tools instead of decoration. In old-school drum and bass, the effect is part of the phrase. It tells the listener that something is about to happen, so use automation in 8-bar and 16-bar structures. For example, raise the reverb send on the last snare of every 8 bars. Open the auto filter cutoff over 4 bars before the drop. Push the echo feedback up for the final bar, then snap it back down right on the downbeat. Or mute the dry signal of an FX chop for 1 beat before the drop to create that vacuum effect. That tiny moment of emptiness can make the drop feel enormous. A really useful example in a 174 BPM roller, start with a sparse 16-bar intro, maybe a break chop and a vocal stab. Then automate a filtered snare throw in bars 7 and 15. Add a reverse delay swell into the first drop. Once the drop lands, pull the FX returns back by 30-50% so the drums and bass feel bigger. That contrast is what gives the drop its weight. And before you call the chain finished, do some cleanup. Check the FX in mono. If the returns collapse badly, reduce the stereo width or simplify the modulation. Listen for buildup around 200-500 Hz. If the top end hisses too much, tame the 6-10 kHz region a little. Ask yourself whether the snare still punches through the reverb, whether the bass stays focused when the delay hits, and whether the tail is disappearing naturally or just hanging there and masking the groove. If it feels messy, simplify. Reduce feedback. Shorten decay. High pass more aggressively. Lower the send in dense sections. In drum and bass, a clean FX chain can make the tune feel louder even when the meters are actually lower. That's a win. A few teacher-style tips before we wrap this part up. Think in bands, not just in effects. Most FX problems in drum and bass start in the low mids, somewhere around 150-500 Hz. If a reverb or delay is getting muddy, cut the source before it hits the effect, not just after. Use transient control on the source if a snare throw is too aggressive. You do not always need another plugin. Sometimes a little clip gain, a softer sample attack, or some drum bus shaping is enough. Do not overwiden everything. Keep the main impact elements centered or close to centered. Let the ambience do the stereo work. That usually makes the whole track feel stronger. And definitely print and compare. A live old school style FX sound better once they're rendered to audio, because then you can actually edit the tail, reverse it, or remove the ugly bits that were distracting in real time. If you want to push this further, try a parallel grit lane with a heavily saturated duplicate under the clean FX, or create a crushed return that you only bring in during breakdowns. You can also use a reverse then throw method, where you reverse the snare or vocal chop first and then send that reversed audio into reverb or delay. That often sounds more cinematic and more authentically old school than just reversing the wet tail. So here's the big takeaway. In old school drum and bass, effects are not just decoration, they're part of an arrangement language. They create tension, release, movement, and impact. If you build them on returns, filter them properly, manage your input levels, and automate them with a phrase structure, you get all the character without sacrificing headroom. Your challenge now is to build one 16-bar transition using just one drum hit, one noise source, and one return-based effects system. Make a short throw, a reverse swell, and a runaway tail that resolves cleanly. Keep the master from clipping. Make the last two bars feel bigger than the first two. Then render it, edit the best moment manually, and test it in mono. That's the real skill here. Not just making a big sound, but making a big sound that still lets the drop hit like a hammer. All right, let's build it.